How's everybody doing? You sound lethargic. But we're about to pump you up. Let's stand and worship together this morning. One thing, here we go.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh, yeah.
Oh, morning. Have a seat. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a blessing to be in worship with you today. We are so thankful that you are here. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague is Reverend Hammett Evans. He'll be bringing today's message as we wrap up our Reconnect series. It is also Commitment Sunday, and later on in the service, you'll have the opportunity to turn in your commitment cards and your covenant cards for 2022 if you have those with you today. So we will do that a little bit later on in the service. Tonight, we are going to kick off our Advent season here at Asbury. At 4 p.m., we are going to have a service for the building. We are going to consecrate the building. Now that we have paid it off, we have a note that we are going to throw in the fire. It's going to be a wonderful time. And then after that, we'll have dinner, and then we'll head to the sanctuary for our hanging of the green service, which will signify the start of the Advent season. Our Advent theme this year is God with us, and that will guide everything we do as a church family. It will guide our messages, it will guide our missions and our ministry. We have for each family here at Asbury a devotional book titled God with Us, believe it or not. And if you didn't get a chance to pick one up last week, we have about 16 copies left. And so you're welcome to take one today before you go. And if you'd like to get one of those, just grab me after the service, and I'll be happy to get that for you. 2 weeks from today, we have what we're calling our Santa and Sing-Along event. Is that correct, Nicole? That's going to start at 4 p.m. So we want to do registration for that. There's limited number, but we would love to see all of the children of Asbury at that event. It's going to be a fun afternoon, and it'll be very special. Let's see. We have two jobs that we are looking to fill here at Asbury to add to our staff. The first is a part-time communications director. And so what we are looking for in that position is someone who is very, very good with internal communication, email, website, and other things with the congregation, as well as external communication with our community. So we want someone who's very savvy with social media. And so if you know someone that would like to do something like that in a part-time capacity, have them contact the office and we can take them through the process. The second person that we are looking for is another nursery worker on Sunday mornings. That's an hourly position, and I believe the hours are 9 to noon. Is that right, Nicole? 8:30 to noon. Okay, so we are looking for an additional nursery worker. So if you know someone, or if you are someone who loves spending their time with young children and would love to help out in that role, that is a paid hourly position. So contact Nicole or contact Jeannie, and they'll be happy to help you with that. We have our offering basket right there at the end of the row there if you are moved to give. We also have all of our different online ways. And then we have the good old-fashioned way, where you just mail a check to the building here at Asbury and send it to Cheryl, and she'll take care of it. As we continue on with worship, please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this beautiful morning, for this opportunity to come together as your children to praise and glorify your name. You have drawn us all together for a reason, God, whether it's here in this room or joining online, we are all connected as your children. And so we give you thanks and praise, God, for all of the blessings that you continue to pour into our life. Those blessings that we see, those blessings that we don't see. God, we know that you are at work and that you are bringing all of us closer to you, and so we give you a mighty thanks. In this season of anticipation, in this season of waiting and Advent, we ask that you draw us into your presence closely, that we feel your peace and your love in a time that can be very stressful and very busy. Never let us lose sight of why we are here and who we belong to. God, we have so many among us who are hurting today. We have so many who are lost. We have so many who have run from you. We pray for them, but we also pray for ourselves, for those times that we run from you. Help us to remember, God, your love for us. We pray for all of those, God, who are on the front of our minds. We pray for those members of the Asbury community that need your healing, your love, and your mercy. We pray for Clifford Smith. We pray for June Glazier. We pray for Barbara Clark. We pray for Betty Hill. We pray for Fred Williams. We pray for Noah Logan. We pray for Megan Arnold. We pray for our neighbor, Miss Franklin. We pray for Auburn Anderson. We pray for Patty Shoemaker. And we pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know that you are at work in their lives, God, and so it is through faith that we lean into a trust in you, that you are doing all to bring peace in all of those situations. God, above all else, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he has brought us, what he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. We thank you for his mighty sacrifice on the cross, a price we could not pay ourselves. We thank you for the victory found in his death and resurrection, the victory that breaks us free from the shackles of sin and death that bind us down. God, we give you thanks for his earthly ministry, for everything he has taught us. We thank you for the door he opens to you for us in prayer, where we may come to lay our burdens at your feet, where we come to give you thanks for the abundant blessings in our lives. We thank you that we know how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. We will now say that together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
Disperse the gloomy clouds.
Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the prophet Jeremiah. We'll be in chapter 29, reading various verses through there. Hear now the word of God. The prophet Jeremiah sent a letter from Jerusalem to the few surviving elders among the exiles, to the priests and the prophets, and to all the people Nebuchadnezzar had taken to Babylon from Jerusalem. The Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel, proclaims to all the exiles I have carried off from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down, cultivate gardens and eat what they produce, get married and have children, then help your sons find wives and your daughters find husbands, in order that they too may have children. Increase in number there so that you don't dwindle away. Promote the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because your future depends on its welfare. The Lord proclaims, when Babylon's 70 years are up, I will come and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after your long exile, declares the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hello. I'd like all the kids to come up and have a little chat with me, if you don't mind. Can you come up and sit with me? Right. Come on up. How is everybody? Good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Did anybody eat something really good? What did you eat? You remember? You forgot. Did anyone try something new to eat that you had never had before? No, you stuck with what you knew, what was good. Anyone have turkey? Yeah, macaroni and cheese, potatoes, all the good stuff. Are you still full? No, you ready to eat some more? That's awesome. You had pizza? I should have come to your house. That sounds awesome. So we had a really awesome Thanksgiving, it sounds like. What is our next holiday that we are getting ready for? What is it? Christmas! Who's excited? I had a feeling we'd all be excited. That is awesome. So how do you know that it's time for Christmas? What do you see that maybe is a hint? What do you see? Christmas trees. What else? What do you see? It is. It's Christmas time. Yes, ma'am? Decorations, snowflakes, that is so cool. Not snowflakes, just decorations. So is it getting colder outside? It's getting there. What about the stores? Are they getting kind of busy? Yeah, that's a big hint that it's almost time, right? So we're almost there. We're so excited, and it can be a really exciting time, but it can also be kind of hard during this time because we have to wait. Who likes to wait? You like to wait? No, you're like, no, I don't like waiting. Yeah, it's not fun. When do we have to wait for other things? What are some times where you have to wait? You always have to wait? Maybe when you're waiting on your parents to get you from school, or waiting in line somewhere, yeah? You don't wait in line ever? You're lucky. You're so lucky. So waiting can be really hard, right? But I think it's kind of hard. So waiting can be really hard, but sometimes waiting is really good. And right now we're in a time of waiting. Does anyone know what this time is called leading up to Christmas? If you were in Sunday school this morning, you might remember. Do you remember what it's called? If you know it, you can say it. Advent? Advent, right? And so Advent means that something really important is coming, which is what? Jesus' birthday, right? Christmas, that's the most important thing. So during Advent at church, every week, we are going to light one of those candles up there. Do y'all see them? The purple and pink ones? And they, you see them? They all represent a different, something different. And so today, we're going to light the candle for hope, okay? So this week, I want you to be thinking about how much hope you have and how much hope we have in knowing that in just a little bit, we are going to get to celebrate Jesus' birthday. We're going to get to celebrate Christmas. What? You get stockings full of candy. I'm going to have to come to your house. That's awesome. Yes, ma'am. Presents. Okay. 900 presents? Wow. Can we pray together? Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us these amazing children in front of me. Thank you for giving us hope every day, and especially on this first Sunday of Advent. Thank you for your son, Jesus. While we are in this season of waiting, help us to focus on our hope and share it with others this week. We love you very much. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seat.
Sometimes you share the children's message, and sometimes they do. Amen? That was fantastic. Anyway, so glad you're here today, and thank you so much. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Everybody had a fairly happy Thanksgiving. That's good. I see a lot of nods out there. Who ate too much? Yeah, I had to skip a couple of evening meals. But anyway, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that you had a happy Thanksgiving as well. Today we're going to talk about how hope reconnects us as a church family. And so I'd like for us to begin with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for being the God of our hope. And we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. I heard a story about some guys who were hanging out one night, and they, they were just talking about all kinds of different things. One of them brought up death, and he said, "What do y'all want said at your funeral?" And the first guy thought for a moment, and he said, "You know, I really hope that people will say he was a great humanitarian who loved his community and did so much good in it." Another one said, "I think that's fine. You know, that's not bad. But I want to be remembered as a great husband and a father, an example for many to follow." And then the third guy says, "You know, I think those are fine, but I really hope that somebody will say, 'Look, he's moving.'" And I hope that too for myself. But that third guy reminds me a lot of the prophet Jeremiah. He was one of those kind of look, he's moving kind of guys. He lived in very tough times, but the Babylonians had conquered his nation of Israel. They destroyed the capital city of Jerusalem. They razed, R-A-Z-E-D, the temple to the ground, completely destroying their worship space. And then they carried off all the political rulers and religious leaders into exile far away in Babylon. For all intents and purposes, Israel was dead. It was a national catastrophe. And no nation in all of history has ever recovered from a catastrophe like that, except one. And that was Jeremiah's community. The exiles, the people who were sent far away to live in Babylon, found themselves living in a foreign land, the land of their enemies, the land of those who conquered them, with strange customs, as far away from home as many of them had ever been. Many were feeling that God had abandoned them once and for all. But in the midst of all of this destruction and death and chaos and questioning, God gives good news to Jeremiah. He comes to Jeremiah and he says, even though Israel is dead, their God is not. Amen? God told Jeremiah to go tell the exiles that. Your God is not dead. And so God says, however this has happened, I am the one who has led you into exile. And then God, through Jeremiah, tells the exiles to do three things while they are in that faraway land. First, God tells them to build and plant. Build houses, God says, and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, or be fruitful and multiply in this strange land. Second thing God tells the exiles is, and this is crazy, tells the exiles to bless Babylon. Now remember, the Babylonians destroyed their homeland, destroyed their nation. But God says, you bless Babylon while you're there. But seek the welfare of the city, God says, where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. So build and plant, bless, and then finally God says, believe. God says, for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. You see, God is saying that even though things look dreadfully bleak, God's intentions are still good. God is at work right now creating a future of hope. And so in the face of a dead nation, God turns to Jeremiah and says, look, he's moving. You go tell them to build and plant, to bless and believe. Put your hope in me and the future that I am bringing. Now, we know that we throw around that word hope a lot. And we use it as a synonym for optimism. But in reality, optimism and hope are two very different things. Optimism is simply having a positive attitude about our success or the success of a project or perhaps the success of a team. But optimism may or may not have any basis in reality. You may be optimistic about something that has no way of actually happening. Hope is different. And I know we use it like, you know, I hope the Hogs win, right? And they did, amen and hallelujah. or we say, I hope my political party will take control, or I hope my test results come out fine. But the problem is that when we use hope in that way, there's a chance that what we hope for may not actually happen. And the other thing is that your hopes can be very different from my hopes. Because I tell you, Mizzou fans hope that their team would win too. Amen, Brother Nick? But that is not the kind of hope that the Bible is talking about. It's not the kind of hope that the Bible is talking about. If you put your hope in a human institution, you will be disappointed. And if you put your hope in a human being, any human being, you will be disappointed. You put your hope in a politician or a political party or a sports team or a pastor or even in your own abilities, you will be disappointed. In fact, the Bible says that one of the worst things that you can do is to put your hope in things like that. That is the very definition of idolatry. You see, biblical hope is rooted in who God is and in God's promises. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God is love. God loves us. God created the entire universe out of love. And so we trust that love triumphs in the end. That is the source of our hope, because that is God's promise to us in Scripture. Hope, then, biblically speaking, is expecting the future that God has promised and living according to that promised future, trusting that it is good. You know, as I've been praying for our church family over the last months, these verses from Jeremiah have come to mind very often, because going through the pandemic has felt like being exiled to a foreign land. Amen? We've had to do church in completely different ways. I would venture to say that Zoom meeting was not in most of our vocabularies 2 years ago. As church, we've worshiped fully online. We've worshiped like this, in person, indoors, and online. We've worshiped in person, outdoors, and some combination of those things over the last few months. Some of us right now are worshiping in the Wilson Activity Center live on Sunday morning. Others are watching live online on Sunday morning. But others are listening to this and watching it later in the week in their car or on their treadmill. A couple of months ago, I looked at the data, and United Methodist Churches in Arkansas were seeing about one-third of the number of people in person than we were 20 months ago. And that was true at Asbury. We were a little ahead of that. Last week, about 160 people worshiped in person in both of our services at Asbury. And then there were 140 people worshiping with us online. So when you add those together, we're only slightly down from about 320 people worshiping in early 2020. But now we're worshiping in very different ways. And I don't have to tell you how the world has changed over the last 20 months and how the church has had to adapt to those changes. It really is like being in a foreign land. And all of us, myself included, have this really deep desire just for somebody to push a doggone button and go back to March 12th, 2020. But the truth is, that's not going to happen. The changes have been too great, and they have been going on for far too long for us to be able to go back in time 20 months to the way things were. And so God comes to us now, and God invites us to build and plant and to bless and to believe in this new landscape. In the midst of all these changes, God expects us to be faithful and fruitful. Listen again to these words from Jeremiah. While you're in this strange land with its strange ways, God says, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. When I hear that last line, it reminds me about planting gardens and eating their fruit. It reminds me of a professor named Kenneth Halpin from the University of Oregon. And Kenneth is retired now, but he still teaches landscape architecture there. Years ago, by chance, he came across an old photograph from World War I of French military trenches. I believe we have a picture of that, Paxton. Do you have that? What he noticed was not the trenches, but the other thing that you can see in the photograph, which is the garden in the trenches. So he did some more research and helped and found that people often plant gardens in times of war. He found photographs of gardens planted by Jews in ghettos during World War II. He found them in German POW camps. He found them in Japanese American internment camps in the United States. He found them in places like Sarajevo. And even today, people are planting and harvesting gardens in places like Afghanistan. Halpin calls these gardens defiant gardens. And he says they are a, quote, refusal to give in to the horror of the hell so close at hand. And that's exactly what God was telling the ancient Jews to do. Don't give in to the horror of the hell so close at hand. Build homes and plant gardens. Bless the community that you're living in now. And believe that I will give you a future with hope. None of us knows what the next few months will bring. The new Omicron variant has been in the news this past week. I got some notifications this morning about it on my phone. We may have another post-holiday surge in a few weeks like we did last year. And we don't know how long this is going to go on. At the same time, the United Methodist Church is going through a denominational split. And General Conference has been postponed until next year. It's possible that it could be delayed further. And those delays simply prolong the pain. The pandemic and the struggles within our denomination are not things within our control. And in the midst of that, God comes to us and invites us to build and plant, bless and believe. So how will we do that? Well, I mentioned a few weeks ago at the beginning of this series that our vision team met in October to pray and to identify our priorities and strategic initiatives for the next 10 months. And so first of all, I want to share those with you today. First of all, if you want to build or plant a garden, you need a plan. You need a plan. So beginning in January, the vision team will get back together and we will discern and cast a new vision for Asbury. We'll ask those two key questions. Who is God calling Asbury to be and what is God calling Asbury to do? The vision team will take the lead on that, but we're going to invite the whole congregation to be a part of that exercise. So you will be involved in that too. We're also rebuilding and looking at each one of our ministries, children's ministry, youth ministry, ministry for adults of all ages, and rebuilding those, relaunching them, rebooting them from the ground up. We're not simply trying to recreate the past. We're starting where we are right now and building and growing from there. Second, at Asbury, we care for one another like a family. Amen. And in these season of isolation and, you know, not being able to meet in person, we have felt isolated from each other. We've missed each other. And so over the next few weeks, there'll be a group of folks who are going to contact people that we have not seen in person since March of 2020. If you'd like to be a part of that group, please let me know. And the more the merrier when it comes to that work. So that's the first thing. Brother Nick has also recently rebooted the congregational care team, now that we can now go back into nursing homes and hospitals and facilities like that. During Advent, Nick and I are going to go and visit all of the homebound members that want us to come and visit, and we're going to take communion around as well. The vision team also recognizes that some of us at Asbury don't know each other. And so we come to events and we're not sure if somebody's a visitor or not. And so there will be opportunities for us to get to know each other better as well. But it's important for us to remember that church isn't just about us inside the walls. God always invites us to bless our community. And so we do that in two ways. One of the ways we do it is the way that we welcome families who come to Asbury for the very first time. At one time, when Brother Tom was our pastor, Asbury was known as the friendliest church in town. Amen? And we still aspire to be that. That's what we want to be. And so as people grow more comfortable getting out and gathering in larger groups, we're going to reboot our connections team too. This includes our bread ministry team, but it also includes each of us. And so I want to encourage you, if you see somebody that you don't know in church, go up and introduce yourself and get to know them. They might be a member who's been coming here since they were, you know, this big, but they might be a guest. And if they are, make the guest feel right at home. We also bless our community through mission. And one of the things that I've learned about Asbury in talking with our vision team is that so many of our missions happen through Sunday school classes and other small groups like our youth group. And so the vision team is looking for one mission that we could all support together as a church family as a whole, that we would all get behind. And we also plan to bring back the Saturday of service this coming May. Now, to help us accomplish these priorities and these strategic initiatives, and this is over the next 10 months, we're budgeting for a new part-time communications director and a full-time youth minister. I want to say a word of gratitude. I know you feel this way too. Nick has done an excellent job rebuilding our youth ministry. Amen? Let's give him a sign of our appreciation. And we pray that Nick will continue to do that. But one of two things is going to happen. Nick is either going to get appointed to another church. That will happen someday, sometime, somewhere. We want to be prepared for that. The other thing is, Nick does our youth ministry as a part of a whole bunch of other, along with a whole bunch of other responsibilities. And Nick may work himself out of that job, amen? He may work that into a full-time position. Then we're going to need somebody to help him with that. So we want to be sure to have the resources in place to cover all of those contingencies. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, I want to remind us, we can't simply rely on our pastors and on our staff to do these things. These jobs are, and these missions are way too big for any one person or a small group of people like that to accomplish on their own. It's going to take all of us working together, committing to follow where God is leading us to accomplish what God is calling us to do. We have to use what we have where we are to build, bless, and believe as we trust in God's promise to bring a future with hope. When I think of Defiant Gardens, I always remember my friend Chris Lusher. And this is Chris and his two daughters when they were very, very young. Sometimes Chris's wife Jenny will join us online. And if she's watching today, hey Jenny, hope you're well. I got to know Chris and Jenny and their family when I was their minister in England, right after seminary. And when I met Chris in August of that year, he had just found out that he was terminally ill and only had a few months to live. He was 51 years old, and he farmed the land that, he was a bus driver, coach driver, and he also farmed the land that his family had farmed for generations. Chris was not supposed to live to see Christmas that year. But sure enough, I looked out Christmas Eve, and he was up in the balcony singing all the carols. In fact, he almost lived to see Easter the next year. That spring, Chris was too sick to farm. But on his good days, he would go out into his garden and work. He tilled the earth, and he fertilized the soil. He sowed the seed, and he watered the ground. Chris knew that he would never live to see the harvest, but he planted a garden anyway. That is how God wants us to live, building and planting, blessing our community, and believing in God's promise to bring a future with hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. This morning we have an opportunity to show our trust in the future that God promises. Today is Stewardship Consecration Sunday, and this is the day once a year when we turn in our financial pledge and our covenant forms as an offering of thanksgiving to God, and to say thanks to God for all of the ways God has blessed us. I want our online viewers to know that you can participate in this as well from home. You can visit the web address that's on your screen, and you can download the electronic pledge card and the covenant form, and excuse me, and then once you have those filled out, email them to the address below. That's our financial administrator, and she will process that pledge for you. So I encourage you to do that if you're worshiping online. If you're a guest today, I know we do have some guests. If you're a guest, we do not expect you to participate in this unless God is calling you to do that and you just really want to do it. But you can use this time as a time of prayer and consider how God is calling you to use your life, your time, your talents, your treasure in the coming year while we do this together. For those of us who are here in the WAC, I invite you to come as a family and place your pledge card and covenant form in the basket. Just try to keep distance from each other like we've grown accustomed to. But as we do that, Caleb and Diana and the band will lead us in Revelation song. Let us pray.
We're going to lead you in Never Lost. We'll do Revelation song later.
Okay.
Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do. Your hand is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Your voice is calling me out right now. I know you're able. You never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know you never will. Everything's possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. A new wind is blowing right now, breaking my heart of stone, taking over like Jericho. My walls are all crashing down right now. I know you're able. My God, come through again. You can do all things. Yes, you can do. You never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know you never will. You can do all things. You can do all things but fail. 'Cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We know that you are a God of abundant love and mercy and grace. You watch over us and provide for us all that we need. And so we give you this offering today as a symbol of our trust in you and a sign of our commitment to live for you. We pray that you will receive our tithes, our offerings, and bless our pledges and intentions. Use us, all that we have and all that we are, for your goodwill and glory. And the people of God said, amen. Next Sunday, Brother Nick will be continuing our Advent series, God with Us, with a sermon about love. And I know you want to come back for that. Don't forget to pick up your family boxes. Kevin has one of those back there at the back. And those are due next Sunday. I brought mine back yesterday. So anyway, I've done mine, but be sure and do that if you haven't already. The building dedication is this afternoon at 4 p.m., and we'll start out on the south lawn. Eventually, we'll be coming in the building for the hanging of the greens after that. Be sure and pick up one of the 16 remaining devotional books. They're like golden tickets and going to the Wonka Chocolate Factory, but they're going fast. Also, be sure kids to register for Santa and the sing-along on December 12th at 4 p.m. as well. So we want to remind you about that, as well as the positions that we have open. If you're interested in the communications director position, you can talk with me. And if you're interested in the nursery worker position, you can talk to Nicole or Jeannie. I will tell you that at this point, if we can't recruit a nursery worker, we won't be able to provide a nursery on Christmas Eve. And so we really need somebody to do that so that we can be good hosts for our parents with young children on Christmas Eve. So if that's on your heart, if you know somebody that would be able to do that, would be interested in that, please do let Nicole or Jeannie know. I do want to say thank you. Thank you to the Brandon family plus Emily and Caleb today.
Yes.
And they're going to lead us now in Revelation songs.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Please stand and join us for this last song.
Kings, you are
I will adore you.
Receive this blessing. Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.